Yo, yo, what's back? Welcome to another edition of Soccer for Dummies. I'm your host, Scott Lewis. Of course, you know where to follow me on all social media platforms at Barbchair Scott. That is X/Twitter. That is Instagram. And that is TikTok. Please get in tune. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you are new to the channel, press subscribe, man. We are over here at Scott's World of Sports, as I like to call it. We talk everything from soccer to the NFL, to the NBA. I got an NBA video up right now where I recap this weekend's playoff games and what my thoughts were on that. So check that out if you are an NBA fan as well. But I want to give a big shout out to everybody who was tuned into Soccer for Dummies. I did not know what the response would be when I first decided to drop this because, like I've said, I've only been watching this sport for 13 months now. I didn't know how many people want to hear my novice opinions on things, but shout out to everybody who has watched. I think the viewership has been better than I expected, so shout out to y'all. Today's episode, we're just gonna be talking Arsenal. I'm gonna do another episode this week where I talk about other things going on in the Prem, like the relegation battle, the European chase, which is damn near over on the Champions League side. I think there's just got a couple teams battling for Europa and Conference League for next year, but kind of feels like Villa and Liverpool got it locked down. United also as well to join Arsenal and City in there next week. But we'll talk about it later in the week because West Ham play Palace today. So that's a big thing. If you're a Tottenham fan, number one, I'm sorry. Number two, you're going to really need West Ham to not win today. So we'll talk about that later this week, and then we'll preview this upcoming week in the Premier League as well, man. So we got, you know, so today is all Arsenal. So if you don't care to hear about my football team, football club, then I'm going to tell you. That's what today's episode is about. So anyway, Arsenal, it was the match of the century as NBC and Sky Sports and everybody hyped this game up to be. And, of course, Arsenal lost. Man City 2, Arsenal 1 was the full-time score yesterday at the Etihad Stadium in Manchester, England. Oh, man, I had bad vibes about this game from the moment we lost to Bournemouth last week. From the moment. I think Bournemouth, I'm feeling so many things after yesterday, man. Went through like five or six different emotions since the end of yesterday's game. Number one, the nerves I felt in that game was just unbelievable. I wanted it to end so bad. It was a point in there, I think at halftime, but my anxiety was just through the roof, and I just had to get a drink because I was just like, I know it's 11 in the morning, but I need a drink just to calm my nerves. I was just like, man, I don't even care who wins. Just end this shit, bro. Like, this is unbearable. And that's the one thing about football that's different from other sports. I feel like the anxiety is way higher just because the game can change, you know, like this. And that's not to say basketball can't. It's not to say the NFL can't. It's not to say, you know, it reminds me a lot of hockey when I used to watch a lot of hockey during the Blackhawks heyday. And it's the closest thing I can compare it to is hockey. You know, just the way people set up and things like that, and the way it's such a low scoring game, but things can also change at the drop of a dime. But this was, if you were neutral, you weren't in heaven, because the way that they, I got to give Sky and NBC credit. Obviously, I live in America, so I couldn't see the Sky Sports actual broadcast, but I saw how they were hyping up on socials. I saw the pre and the post game show they uploaded on YouTube. Post game show is real, real good. I know a lot of people give Gary Neville flack, and I understand sometimes too. He doesn't come off as the most what's the word I'm looking for? It's the coolest dude to talk to. But for the most part, I be thinking Neville be right more than he wrong. I know a lot of Arsenal fans hate that. They don't want to hear that. But I really thought the post-game show was really, really good with Gary Neville, Michael Richards, Patrick Vieira. It was good to hear the Caps' thoughts on Arsenal. I find it very interesting how Arsenal legends have been talking about this Arsenal team this season. Now, I get to that in just a minute. And Roy Keane. I love Roy Keane. Roy Keane, to me, is like the – he's like the British. Well, he's not even British. What is he, Scottish? I need to look up what my boy Roy Keane is. Is he Scottish or is he from Ireland? I'm Googling that right now. Hold on. So we got Roy Keane right now. Roy Keane is Irish. Yeah, I knew you. So he's like an Irish Charles Barkley. Well, like, you know he's going to keep it real. He don't care. He's going to give his thoughts. And I thought it was a real nice back and forth between four champions that you really want. You know, I think people, one thing about athlete-led content or athlete, you know, reporters or analysts, as we call them in America, or pundits is what they call them in the UK, they can be wrong on a lot of stuff. But one thing that I will never, one thing I think that the athlete media person can do that us regular people can is they play the game. They play the game at a high level, and especially the champions. They know what it takes to win. So to hear from a guy in Roy Keane, who's won like 6 or 7 Premier Leagues, Patrick Vieira, 3 Premier Leagues, Gary Neville, like 8 Premier Leagues, Michael Richards, one of the most exciting Premier Leagues ever with that 11-12 Man City team. To hear their analysis on it, I personally thought was entertaining, was knowledgeable, and I learned a lot from it. I don't know about anybody else. Arsenal fans don't really like these people when they don't talk good about our team. But whatever. And I think the thing to me, for a neutral, I think it was hyped up. They had the Premier League title out there for whatever reason, like it was a final. And I did notice they did a good job because they promoted the game like, oh, this is the title decider, and the winner of this will win the league. And I don't 100% agree with that. I also don't 100% disagree. But they hyped it up, people watched the game. And then the final thing that John Champion said as the game ended, and Arteta and Guardiola were shaking each other's hands on the touchdown. He said, "This race isn't over by a long shot." So, like, they hyped it up as the end-all, be-all, just for you to say, "Oh, it ain't over yet," just to keep everybody watching, which I thought was pretty entertaining. Now, I look at stuff like this from a production value and a media person, you know, view. Compared, I know the average fan probably didn't even pay attention to that, but I did. Anyway. The game itself, I thought, was a really good football game. I thought it was a really good football game, good back and forth. I think both teams played well. And I think that's why the reaction from Arsenal fans is a lot tamer than I thought it would be, because they play well. This team has not played well. Everybody says all calendar year. I'm gonna go even further. This team ain't played well since the first North London. No, that's not gonna lie. This team ain't played well since the Bayern Munich game at the end of November. We played like shit in December, but we got away with it. Went 7-1 in that month, got away with it. And we've been playing really, really bad. Performances have been bad. I know I've been one of the people who said, "Oh, I don't care performances, just give me wins." And to an extent, I still kind of agree, but at the same time, the performances is why we're in this situation that we're in right now. And I thought performance yesterday was great. I thought Mikel did a great job with the lineup for what was available. Obviously, there's no Saka again. There was no Calafiore. There was no Timber. My personal opinion, like I said last week, I do not think we're going to see Bukayo Saka the rest of the season. I really hope I'm wrong, but that's the vibe I get. But we're going to need Calafiore, and we're going to need Timber back as soon as possible, because as good as Mosquera was yesterday, as good as Piero and Capier were yesterday, they are center backs. And they just did what they could. And I feel like for the buildup and for the overall, you know, game plan, you need Timber. I think, you know, it's a different game with those two out there. But, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, it is what it is. I think the biggest – I'm trying to figure out where to go with this. Because I felt a lot of emotions yesterday. I did feel we were going to win the game. I said on the show last week I wasn't confident. Just because of momentum. Momentum swings in sports are a huge thing, especially in football. And that's why I laugh when that take Bomani Jones said that there's no such thing as momentum in sports. I'm a big Bomani fan. I think he's one of the smartest guys in sports media, but that was a stupid-ass comment. Momentum is one of the most important things in sports, especially in a very fast, you know, quick sport like football. And that's what we saw here. But I think the number one thing that stood out was technical ability, finishing. And that was the issue here. That was the issue. I do not think this race is over. Mathematically, obviously, it's not over. In order to win this league, unfortunately, Arsenal need help. And we can sit up here and we can argue about we ain't supposed to be here, it shouldn't be this way. You're right. But we are here. It is what it is. In the words of Avon Barksdale, the game is the game. You have made this harder for yourself, because if you won last week at home against Bournemouth, you're up 12 points, putting the pressure on City heading into that Chelsea game. And even if City still did win, even with you winning, it's a 9-point lead coming into this game. And now you're not really caring about losing yesterday because you still got a 6-point lead. Now, right now, I know a lot of people talking about, oh, well, you know, people talking about like Arsenal, like they don't set a lead. Yeah, they do. It's a 3-point lead, but City have a game in hand. City have a game in hand. They play Burnley on Wednesday. The goal difference has been cut down to one. Let's be very clear about one thing here. Burnley are going to lose on Wednesday. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of when. It's a matter of how and by how many goals. I look at that game. If I'm an Arsenal fan watching that game and I want to see how does this benefit me, that's a goal difference game for me. I'm looking at that game. I want just have Burnley score a couple goals, and I would love City to not score more than three goals. If I can't get a win, I mean, if I can't get a loss or a draw, give me a 3-2 City win. So then they're only up, what, one in the goal difference. So that's some stuff you got to start paying attention to now. It is no – people say, oh, it's in City's hand. It is technically in both teams' hands. It's technically in both teams' hands because if we win all their game, all our games, and they win all their games, we're tied at points at 85, and then it comes down to goal difference. So it's about who wins the most game and who – scores the most goals now. And that's what I loved about yesterday's attack, where that was the best I've seen us look attacking wise in a long time. But the issue here is quality. That first goal, Ryan Cherki. I know some Arsenal fans say, oh, it was bad defense, but no, it was not bad defense. That was called getting outplayed, getting rocked out your socks. Ryan Cherki spread through that defense like a hot knife through butter. It was just incredible. He's got that footwork and he showed his brilliance. Goal. Now, it was also good that we were able to respond to that right away, capitalizing on Donnarumma's mistake. The only time we caught, because he made a couple, and we only capitalized one. Good goal by Kai Havertz. But here's the issue with Kai Havertz. Here's the issue with all the attackers on this team. There's no killer instinct. The problem with the Gyökeres-Havertz debate is one does things well that the other doesn't. And that's the issue. If we could take the good things that Kai Havertz does, well, like build up, link up play, creating more chances, and mix that with Gyökeres' finishing, we have a great striker right there. But unfortunately, you can't. You know, yeah, Gyökeres can give you goals. He's our leading goal scorer in all competitions by a very decent margin because he's a great finisher. But there'll be parts of the game, majority of the game, where you don't know he's on the pitch because he does nothing else. And those are the issues that you have right here. So I understand. I think a lot of people have been babying Kai Havertz, and I do believe that we have, like, scapegoats on this team. I know a lot of people blaming Odegaard yesterday. And y'all know how I feel about Martin Odegaard. I am not the biggest Martin Odegaard fan. He is on my list of players that I want sold this summer. Having said all that, I thought he played great yesterday. I thought he played great. He got that pass off to Kai. Maybe it was a second too late, but he's still fighting to get some consistency. This is the first time that him and Eberechi Eze have been on the pitch at the same time for more than 20 minutes in this entire season. And I thought it looked good for the most part. And there was one chance when it was a 3-on-2. Kai Havertz has got to hit that. I don't care that Odegaard got him the ball maybe a nanosecond later than he probably should have. You should get that. You know what I'm saying? And that goes to the finishing quality. But if you want to give him a pass on that, cool. What you can't give a pass on is a missed header. And this is the second time he's done this. He missed the header last week against Bournemouth. Leandro Trossard put that ball on a perfect cross. Hit the ball down. And we're talking about something else. Just a lot of bad luck yesterday. That didn't go in. The Eze miss. Oh, my God. That one, I saw the replay this morning, and it's just unlucky if the ball's even an inch turned a different way. It's a 2-1 game with 70 minutes left, and who knows what happens from there. So it was really disappointing. My first reaction was anger, and I thank God that I have carpet in this house of mine, because my phone wouldn't have had a screen yesterday if it didn't have carpet. I was very angry. Then it went to disappointment. Then it went to, oh, I'm over it, doing mid-afternoon. And I think that was more the alcohol talking, more than me actually being over. And then at night, I got really, really sad. And then this morning, I was reviewing the game again, rewatching it to make sure I remember stuff before I record this pod. And I got angry again. And I got disappointed again. And I don't sense any anger from Arsenal fans these last almost 24 hours. I just sense a lot of disappointment and sadness, man. Like, I've never seen a fan base or a team be battered and hated the way Arsenal and the fans are. I know that people don't like the Cowboys. I know people don't like the Lakers. I know people don't like the Yankees. I've never seen it to this ability. Like, when you got even relegation teams yelling second again, ole, ole. And I feel bad for myself, and I've only been a fan for 13 months. I really, really feel bad for the long-term Arsenal fans, especially the ones who weren't old enough to watch the Invincibles and to watch that early Arsene Wenger era. Because it's like, when your team upsets you over and over again, and this goes to something I tweeted yesterday, and it sounds crazy, but I really believe this. And I was thinking about just the, you know, the emotional roller coaster I've been in with this team, honestly, since July, even before the season started. The emotional roller coaster me started with the Jokerez chase and making sure we got Jokerez and can we get Eze. Then the season started. It's been an emotional roller coaster. And the fact that in 5 to 6 weeks, we could end this with nothing, it's just a real empty feeling. And, you know, it kind of feels like, I don't know if the stress and the emotion and the disappointment that comes with having a winning team is worth it. I'm really starting to question that. Y'all might say maybe I'm in the moment, I'm emotional, and I'm doing whatever. You might be right. But after looking this Arsenal season up to this point, looking at how the Bears season ended, and I know I'm still mad about that Rams game. I really wish I wasn't. But I'm still mad about that Rams game because of how close they were. You know, coming back from that deficit they had, pushing it to overtime. They were 15 yards away from potentially making the NFC Championship game. And we could say the Seattle would have banged on them. Who knows? You won a chance. And I was upset about that game until the actual Super Bowl kicked off. And then, you know, now that I see the way that the free agency went and, you know, the non-excitement that I have for the draft, I'm just like, man, it was easy to deal with when they were trash. Like, and that's the thing, man. It's just sports is, I don't know why we watch it, because the highs are so high, but the lows can be low, low, low. And I've been experiencing a lot of lows this Arsenal club the last month. We all have. And it just kind of hit rock bottom for me yesterday. They killed my belief. I hate to say, I no longer believe that they're winning the Premier League. I have serious doubts that they're winning the Champions League. And the reason for that is this. And that's not to say they won't. Maybe I'm wrong. I would love to be sitting here on an episode of Soccer for Dummies about 6 weeks from now, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, we came back. We won the Premier League. Or, man, we went to Budapest, beat the reigning European champions, or beat Bayern Munich. Nobody thought we were going to do it. We won the Champions League. Or even better, man, we really won the double. I hope I'm sitting there. I do not think I will be. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to who has the best players. I don't care what sport you're watching. It comes down to who has the best players. And I've been saying all season, now I'm going to get to Mikel Arteta in a minute. He is not exempt from this. In fact, I might be ready for a change with Mikel. I'm going to get to that in a second. But Mikel or no Mikel, the players just aren't good enough. What was the difference in yesterday's loss? The difference was not a matter of who played better, because you can argue that Arsenal probably played a better game than Man City did. But the individual talent was the deciding factor. Ryan Cherki with that goal. Erling Haaland, all it took. Erling Haaland really didn't do anything yesterday. He didn't do anything but get cardio. But all it took was 1 second of greatness. And that's all it needed. Ball game over. And you put yourself in a position to win the Premier League if you win all your games and score enough goals. Is this that quickly? And it has been an issue all season. Mikel can set up the team he wants to set up. We can always argue about did he set it up well, but at the end of the day, he can't kick the ball into the net for these guys. And you got I just named the issues with Jokerez and Kai Havertz. Both of our left wingers are terrible. Martinelli stinks. Leandro Trossard stinks. Gabriel Jesus used to be a really good player. Won a lot of trophies with Man City, as he reminded those Man City fans yesterday who called him Judas. And he had a really good first year with Arsenal. The injuries killed him, and he has nothing left. He is washed at 28. It just is what it is. And Bukayo Saka, as much as we love Bukayo has not looked the same since that hamstring injury last year. He just hasn't. I got a highlight tape up right now in the background, all his goals were Arsenal. Look at the speed. Look at the finishing ability that he had. He no longer has that. And I don't think it's a matter of he fell off. I do believe it's an injury thing, and especially now that we – no, he's been nowhere to be found since the Carabao Cup final. He has been nowhere to be found, and it's an Achilles issue. And he's only 24. And, you know, I know a lot of fans will say, well, Arteta ran him to the ground. Yeah, probably so. And that goes back to recruiting. The recruiting of the attackers is the reason that Arsenal are in this situation, that they're in this situation. Yes, the defense has tailed off a little bit the last couple months. But I'm more than likely never going to blame the defense. And that's why when it comes to the overall sports, when we zoom out, the number one phrase I hate more than anything, and it's the number one sports cliche, defense wins championships. Defense only wins championships when your offense is good. Very, very rarely do you have the team has a terrible offense or mediocre offense. They just have world-beating defense and they won a championship, no matter the sport. Very rarely do you get your 2000 Ravens, your 2015 Broncos, or your 04 Detroit Pistons and things like that. Defense wins championships when the offense is good. And if we're sitting here 6 weeks from now and Arsenal has no trophies, it's going to be because of the attacking quality. It's poor. And when I look at these next 5 to 6 games for Arsenal and Man City, my fear isn't that City's not going to drop any more points. I do believe City's going to draw at least one. I think City got one or two more draws left in them or one more loss in them. So I do believe they're going to drop enough points for Arsenal to have the opportunity to capitalize. I just don't trust this Arsenal team to capitalize. One, they haven't capitalized all year when City gave them a chance to bury them. So many opportunities. The 0-0 at the Emirates against Liverpool back in January. The 0-0 at Nottingham Forest at the City Ground in January. Then with just back-to-back weeks, those 3 consecutive weeks. You know, the absolute egregious defense they played against Manchester United the week after. You know, you created nothing against a Liverpool side that has a terrible defense. That was a turnstile for majority of the season. You got nothing. They didn't even create nothing. Then you go to the City Ground against a relegation side, and Martinelli missed 2 chances that he's got a bang. It just shows you what kind of players. And you absolutely embarrassed yourself in front of Manchester United. And then we go on to the Brentford loss, blowing a 1-0 lead because of stupid shit that Gabriel and Raya were doing. And Raya, the minute I give you praise and call you the best keeper in England, you do this to me and you start playing around with the ball. That should have been a 1-0 game in the first 3 minutes. But you playing around with Erling Haaland in front. You did that last week against Sport. You did that last week against Bournemouth. He got to stop doing that. And I love Big Gabby, but we might have to have a conversation about him soon. I understand they signed to an extension last year, 28, but he'd be doing a lot of stupid stuff at the end of games. He'd be panicking. I hate that. He is very lucky that he didn't get a red card yesterday when he headbutted Erling Haaland. That's a headbutt. I don't know what the referee saw. If we're being honest, we're being fair here. He should have got red, and he should have been suspended for these next 3 matches. We dodged a bullet. He dodged a bullet. But nothing pisses me off more than when players want to fight and show fight after they're losing. Where was that on a goal? You know what I'm saying? That pissed me off. But I don't have any faith that Arsenal are going to win all 5. And that's why I don't think they're going to win the league. And everybody's like, oh, we found a way to play that can help us win. Yeah, they did. But my question is not, are they going to play the same? My question is, are they going to give the same intensity, right? Is Mikel still going to set up the team, or is he going to go back to his conservative way and just be hard-headed and say, this is how we're going to win the league? If they play, and I hate this phrase, but if they play with the handbrake off for the rest of the season, then yes, they put themselves in a good position to win these next 5. You look at these next 5, you should look at these 5 like we should win all of these. But the way they've been playing, I can't guarantee that, man. And I'm not 100% sure that Mikel is just going to be, you know, balls to the wall. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes back to the way of the ugly football that he liked playing this weekend. Newcastle, such a big game. Such a big game. You have to win now. You have to win the next 2. I mean, you got to win every game, but when you're in a situation like this, you got to take it 1 game at a time. That's why I would advise the team. That's how I advise the fan base. Because City will be level on Wednesday, and they will be ahead on goal difference. It's just a matter of how many goals they're going to be ahead on goal difference. But you have an opportunity after that. You play 2 times after the Burnley game before they take the field at Goodison Park to play Everton, who suffered a very close loss in the Merseyside Derby yesterday. But, you know, it's a Derby game. Shit like that happens. But they've been great. They've been in great form. So you have an opportunity for them to be walking in Goodison Park down 6 points again. You got 2 home games against middle of the road teams and Newcastle and Fulham. You got to do your job, man. So
I'm irritated, man. I'm irritated. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm all those things. This is
That's why I didn't do this potty yesterday. I'd have been yelling and things like that. But it's just disappointing. And I don't want this. I don't want how I think I'm going to view this season the way I'm going to view it. And I said my concerns about the Premier League. Here's my concerns with the Champions League. Now, I do believe that we will advance the Champions League final. I do believe that. I think we can, and I think we will beat Atleti. I don't think it's going to be like what we did in October. That's a different Atleti team. It's a different Arsenal team. And there was no pressure in that game. We blitzed them 4-0. And honestly, that was still a tough game, too. The first 65 minutes of that game were close. And then who scored first? Gabby. Gabby got a header, and it was just the floodgates open. I don't expect it to be that type of tie. I do believe it's going to be close. But I believe that Edgemont, this is my fear. When you get to the title game and in Budapest on May 30th, you're going to be playing either the European champions in PSG, who their league is just – Liga need to be investigated for, you know, pushing their games off, giving them all this time. Or it's just nasty work. No other league does that. You know what I'm saying? To put them in the best position to win the champs. So you got them. And then you got a Bayern Munich team who defensively, you know, they're nothing to run home about. Obviously, you can make them pay. We made them pay. We put three up on them in November. But the individual quality, it keeps coming back to attacking quality, is so much far superior than ours. You got the Arsenal killing Harry Kane, who could be this year's Ballon d'Or winner. You got Michael Olise, who, in my opinion, best right winger in football. And then you got Luis Diaz, who is having a career year playing in that Farmers League. But I'm not going to run on Bundesliga. That would be another 30 minutes, because I got thoughts on that. But I believe in a final, unless we are hitting our set pieces, which we are on a set piece drought. We ain't hit it. We ain't had a corner goal in like a month and a half. It is, and it feels like the attempts are worse and worse and worse. It's just bad. And I feel like we can play a perfect game, but the individual quality can edge us out in those situations like that. So that's why I don't think we're going to win the Champions League. Like I said, I want to be wrong. I really, really want to be wrong. I just don't think I would be wrong. I look at two sports seasons in my life that I look at with absolute disgust. That's the 2008 Chicago White Sox, and that's the 2014-2015 Chicago Bulls. And here's why, for those of you who are not familiar with those seasons or don't remember those seasons. 2008 Chicago White Sox won the AL Central, and they won it in entertaining fashion in the now legendary blackout game at what was then called U.S. Cellular Field. A lot of White Sox fans have fond memories about the blackout game. And yes, it was a cool atmosphere. But fuck the Blackhawk game. I'm gonna be real. I'm like it like we I don't understand the what's the word I'm looking for? The why people revere that game so much. Like, that was an annoying team. That team couldn't manufacture a run to save its life. Pitching was shaky. They were home run or bust. You had old dudes like Jim Tomey and, you know, the remains of whatever that was of King Griffey Jr. It was an annoying team that took it down to game 183 because they were losing games they had no business losing because they couldn't create runs, couldn't manufacture runs. And I hated that team. I absolutely hated it for the emotional roller coaster they put me on. They put me on through all of that just to get absolutely ran by the Tampa Bay Rays. And then 2014, 2015 was the last year that I feel like the Bulls were in a title contention. And, you know, you go out there, you have D-Rose healthy, finally. You have Jimmy Butler, who was emerging. You had Pau Gasol. You had a healthy Joakim Noah, finally. And the way they went out that season went out like some bitches. Like, you had no business losing to that Cleveland Cavaliers team. You know, they had no Kevin Love. You know, Kyrie got hurt at the beginning of the series, so he missed most of the series. David Black, one of the dumbest coaches of all time, was on the sideline. It should have been a technical foul when he called that timeout when he had nothing left. And just the way they went out, they were suckers. Every last one of them. And that was the last year of Tibbs, and I felt like Tibbs had to go. And I hated that year. I hated it. I actually looked at that whole D-Rose era. I kind of look at it with like a foul taste in my mouth because everybody, it's kind of like with the Arsenal thing. Like, I was fortunate enough to, when I started watching the Bulls, it was the Michael Jordan era still, because I'm older than a lot of these Bulls fans. And a lot of Bulls fans I talked to, they started watching basketball during the Derrick Rose era. So they have these fond memories of these teams. Not to say that I didn't enjoy those seasons, because I did, but all I think about is missed chances. you know, the players not being healthy, D Rose not being healthy, the front office not doing their jobs and missing out on the opportunity to actually win the NBA championship. And I really feel like 2014, 2015, they could have won it. I believe if they beat the Cavaliers that year, they go to the NBA Finals, and I kind of think they win it. I know that Warrior team was really, really good, but they played really, really well against that Warrior team. And, you know, LeBron with one arm was able to take them to two games. So that's something I don't look at that year finally. And it's the same through this. I don't want to think this way about this team, but I do believe that in 6 weeks from now, we are trophyless. I'm going to look at this season. And I don't want to look at this way because this is my first full season watching this beautiful sport and this team, this club, this league. I came in after the last international break last year, so I only caught the last 8 to 9 games. I don't want this season to be looked at this way, but I truly feel Vigo Trophies. I'm looking at this like that was the biggest waste of 10 months of my life. Because even if you lose, right, even if you lose and don't get the job done, at least be exciting. The 2018 Bears lost in an excruciating way with a double doink. But I legitimately enjoyed that season. I'll be real. I enjoyed that season more than the Super Bowl year. I really did. Now, I didn't enjoy as much as I enjoyed this past year. But if you're going to lose and you're going to be doing and not get the job done, at least be entertaining. There's nothing entertaining about this Arsenal team. I know a lot of us, including me, tried to know. It don't matter. Just get the job done. Don't get the job done. And we're going to look at this way of playing football. We're going to look at this manager in ways that I hope we don't have to look at them if they don't get the job done. It's just that serious. And that's why I want to go to Mikel, and I'll wrap up with this because I'm on 31 minutes, and I didn't intend for this video to be this long. Simple play. I'm just going to say it this flatly. I know there's been a lot of discussion about this, and I do not feel like this is the time to have this discussion. When the season concludes, we'll have a full breakdown on this. But I truly believe that if they don't win any titles, if they don't win the Premier League, if they don't win the Champions League, I believe it's time to move on from Mikel Arteta. Now, I've been very clear that I do not think the Kroenkes will fire him. I feel like they've got a great relationship with Mikel. Mikel is an Arsenal man. He's a former Arsenal captain. And you got to give him props for rebuilding the club to where they are now. Having said that, just because you're the man to bring him to the promised land don't mean you're going to be the man that's going to get him in the promised land. You know what I'm saying? And he might just be the nearly man. You know, Brad Stevens helped build up that Celtic team. He was not the one to get them past the promised land. It was Joe Mazzulla. I'm going to go even further, go a little back. Tony Dungy built up that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. He was not the man to get them past the finish line. It was John Gruden. Mark Jackson built parts of that Warrior team. I say parts because I feel like we give him a little bit too much credit sometimes. He wasn't even playing Draymond Green, but that's beside the point. But he helped get the Warriors back in the playoffs, restoring that Warriors culture to what they used to be, to making the Warriors respectable again. He wasn't the one that took them to the championship, building a dynasty. That was Steve Kerr. And I do believe it's a massive risk. Because if you're getting, because I think Mikel is a really good manager, and I do believe he will win a lot of trophies. Hopefully it's here. But even if it's not here, I do believe he's going to win in a different league, whether it's La Liga, Bundesliga, wherever. It might even be the Premier League. I don't know. But the style that he has built here, I don't feel like is going to win you a championship. When you play to lose, when you play to not lose in any sport, you're going to lose more than not. And the wheels have really been coming off on that. And it's going to be, you know, when you fire a coach that's really good, you got to have a really good replacement. And that's something that the Bears have never gotten right. not just Bears, Chicago sports. You know, when you fire Phil Jackson, you bring in Tim Floyd. And you fire Ozzie Guillen, you bring in Robin Ventura. Fire Lovie Smith, you bring in Mark Trestman. Fire Tom Thibodeau, you bring in Fred Hoiberg. And the list goes on and on and on. You know, as much as I can't stand Matt Nagy, you get rid of Matt Nagy and you bring in Matt Eberflus. What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? So the potential to mess this up is very high. And I've chewed the players out earlier as well. But I just don't believe that a lot of these players just aren't good enough. I think the number one thing that I blame Mikel for this year is his mismanagement of Eberechi Eze. And it goes into yesterday, him subbing him off, which was the dumbest thing to me. He almost won the game. When you have a maverick like that who can just change the game at a drop of a dime, you need to keep them on the pitch as long as possible. And he did not do that. And I hated his mismanagement him all season. You know, when the season, when we first got him, it took him like 3 to 4 games before he started starting regularly. Play him. He made one mistake that let Matty Cash score that goal at Villa Park at the beginning of the season. He didn't play this man for like 13 or 14 matches. It's inexcusable. He's not the only dude to make mistakes. Gabriel Martinelli made mistakes every week, and you still play him. So that's my issue. I don't want to divulge too far in that. Like I said, it's not the time and the place now. We still got 5 more games. Hopefully we got 8 games in total, including the Champions League final, in that we're sitting here with at least some silverware. And I ain't got to say Arteta out. I've been fighting Arteta outers all season. But I might be on their side if they don't get it done. So I'm going to stop there because we're 35 minutes and I've gone way longer than I intended this to go. But I had to get all my feelings out. I do not believe it's over. This Premier League season has just been too crazy. If anybody who said the Prem was boring this year, you are out of your mind. Look at the other crap leagues that's going on. There's no type of battle in La Liga right now. Barcelona, as terrible as their defense are, they're going to win this league in a couple weeks. And Bayern winning the league yesterday with like 5 games to go. I think Inter Milan is like 4 points away from winning the Scudetto. Like, there's a competition in Ligue 1 with Lens and PSG, but let's be real here. They don't care about that. They pushing them, they game back, they playing Champions League. The Premier's been all over the place. You got a great relegation battle. You got a great title race on hands. And there's been so many twists and turns in this title race. And I think there's going to be a couple more. I do not think this is over. Even though I believe we're not going to get over the line, they still have an opportunity. I'm not the one out there playing. We're not the ones out there playing. There's still an opportunity to get it done. And now we're going to see. It's not over. All it went from us having a comfortable lead to now you're in a dogfight. And it's about who blinks first. So we'll see who blinks. Anyway, subscribe to the channel. Leave a like. Leave a comment. Repost. Do all those things. Spread the word. Soccer Dummies. I will be back with another episode later this week. We'll talk about the relegation battle in full. I want to wait to see how Crystal Palace, West Ham turns out this afternoon, and then we'll go from there. We'll talk about the European battle. We'll talk about, you know, can Everton and Brentford actually get a European spot? The free fall of Chelsea. And, we'll talk all about all that. So, it's your boy, Barbchair Scott. I will holler at y'all when I holler at y'all. I'm about